Interesting thing is that God is totally free. How many of you can say amen? Tell you, God is totally free. And guess what? We are made in His image. We were made to live absolutely, 100% free. And when Satan tricked Adam and Eve, the sin and bondage came into their life. I remember this story when Jewish people were asking, pressing Jesus with questions and saying, you know, you claim all these things. They said something like this to Him. Jesus, we were never in bondage to anyone. Do you remember in John 8? We were never in bondage. Our people were never in bondage. Although, in Jesus' time, Israel was under the bondage of Romans. Right? So they're lying. But anyway, let's take him. And Jesus said something interesting. He answers them this way. He says, he who commits sin is a slave to sin. And then he said, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So listen, let me ask you a question. When a person is on drugs or alcohol and he can't help it, every 4, 5, 6 hours, he needs a high. He needs to shoot something in his body. Do you think he's free? You think a person that needs a constant drink? I don't think so. I've worked with alcoholics and they don't want to do it. They just can't help themselves. Sin makes people be in bondage. Sin makes people be in prison. And you're not in control of your emotions anymore. And you're not in control of your will anymore. You do what that sin dictates you. And Christ, that's the reason why He came. So He can set the captives free. That's His mission and that's what He has accomplished. Hallelujah. All right. Let me give you some statistics. Did you know that in the United States, 1 out of 8 men has been convicted of a felony? 1 out of 5 African American men have been in prison. 1 out of 20 men have been in jail. United States has the highest documented incarceration rate in the world. You've heard that in about a few months ago, they were talking about it on the news. More than 1 out of 100 people, adults, are incarcerated in the beginning of this year. More than 1 out of 100 people is incarcerated right now. That's a big number. Out of people who are between 16 and 70, 1 out of 80 people are in prison right now. Between 16 and 70, if you don't count older people, just 16 and 70. There's 1 out of 80 is in prison. That's a huge number. Do you know that we have 7.1 million people in prison as of 2006? You know how many China has? 1.5 million. We have 7 million people in prisons right now in the United States alone. China has 4 times the population. Well, probably Chinese kill him, you know. Or don't report him. But still, the number is really high. And maybe you can ask this and you can say, Pastor, you know, I'm not in prison. I'm not planning to go to prison. You know, I don't really care. You know, why should this concern me? And my answer is this, that a lot of people are in prison, yes. But there are so many more people who are living in spiritual and emotional prisons and bondages and relational prisons. There's so many more people who are locked up within themselves from fear. Have you ever experienced jealousy? No, really. Have you ever experienced jealousy? Maybe. Maybe some more, some less. But if you have experienced jealousy, imagine experiencing jealousy all the time. And I could say this, being in the prison of jealousy. Anything you see, everything you look at, you compare yourself. You're always jealous when somebody's better than you. Oh, that's a prison. Christ came to set those people free. Not from so much physical prison, but spiritual prison. There's so many prisons that people are going through. There's prison of fear. There's prison in relationships that God wants to set people free. There's religious prisons. People are under this fear of religion, not of really God, but of people pleasing. You know, just people pleasing type. God wants to set those free. And during these 6 weeks, I believe that God gave me a message, and different people here too, my team, that God is going to give you practical tools on how to be free. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do you want to be free? You want to be free, guys? Girls, do you want to be free? What are these stupid emotions that we got? That whenever we're in the presence of some people, make us cringe, you know, make us sweat. I want to be free from that. When I walk in, I don't want to be feeling all tensed and shy and embarrassed or whatever. I want to be free. When I meet a very famous VIP or very famous person, I want to be free. I don't want to trip over everything, you know. I want to be free. You want to be free. And God is going to give us that freedom. That's why He sent Jesus Christ. Did you know that God also is accomplice in many prison breaks, physical prison breaks in the Bible? You didn't know that? Do you remember the story when Peter was arrested and they put him in the midst, in a cell with 16 other soldiers, armed? And as they were sleeping, the angel of the Lord came. Do you remember that story? Woke him up, and Peter's like, I'm dreaming. And the chains and the leg chains, they fell down. And angel walked him out of prison. And they next day they went to look for Peter. Peter is not there. Peter's like, whoa. So God doesn't want people to be in prison. Christians, God doesn't want you to be in prison. Next thing. Do you remember the story of Paul and Silas? You remember they were beaten and put in prison? And they were, you know, locked up and everything? And in the middle of the night, God decided to show up there. And He shook up the prison. And the gates of prisons were open. And His shackles miraculously fell off. The warden of that prison ran in and said, oh my goodness, they must have run away. He said, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul says, no, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And then what happens? The prisoner, the warden of the prison falls down at Paul's feet and says, what should I do? And then the salvation happens. He receives Jesus and the gospel is spread. This whole family is baptized. Hallelujah. God wants to set people free. But how can Jesus set us free if He was never imprisoned Himself? I mean, He lives in heaven at the right hand of the Father. No evil can come to Him. How can He set us free? How can He understand what we're going through? Well, what He did was He had to come down here. Be born of a Virgin Mary. And I've proved it scientifically to you guys this Christmas. It's easy. It's possible scientifically for Mary to conceive. If you want to know, I wrote a thing on it so you can get it from me. I can email it to you. All right. So Christ had to come and be imprisoned Himself. And on Friday we were watching Passion of Christ here. And you've seen how Jesus was imprisoned and everything. But He wasn't imprisoned only physically. He was imprisoned spiritually as well. Let me ask you a question, guys. As Jesus is hanging on the cross, and He's about to take His last breath, He said, it is finished. Father, unto Your hands I commit my spirit. And then He went like, what happened to Jesus? Bible says that sins of the whole world were placed upon Him, right? So all the sins of the past, all the sins of the future, all of your sins, all of the sins of people who will never receive Him. God had to put those sins on Him just in case they would. But what happened to Jesus? Some people said, well, Jesus went to heaven. Well, that's a good thinking, and it's biblical. Why? But it's not true. Because remember when the thief was hanging on the cross, the good one? Well, the bad thief. And he was hanging on the cross, and he said, remember me, you know? And Jesus said, today I say to you, you will be with me, where? In paradise, today. So did Jesus go into paradise after He died, after He released His spirit? No, I don't think so. Do you think God would allow a filthy person like Jesus to enter His paradise? Remember, all the sins of the universe of general millenniums were put upon Him. So He was the dirtiest person that ever lived. He was filthy. He was perverted. Everything, all the sins of the universe was put on Him. God is not going to allow Him. Remember what the Bible says. No unclean and impure, unholy thing can enter into His presence. God cannot allow sin. There's no sin in heaven. There's no filth in heaven. So God had another plan. Jesus was so heavy with sin, He couldn't go up. He only had to go down. Let me read something to you from the Bible. What happened to Jesus after he released his spirit? In 1 Peter, the Bible says that Jesus descended into hell. Because with that many sins, nowhere else you can go. There's nowhere else you can go. God is not receiving you. Remember, God closed his face and Jesus cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Do you remember that? So Jesus was going nowhere up. He was going down first. Okay? Are you still with me? In 1 Peter 3:18 it says this, "He never sinned, but he died for the sins that he might bring us safely to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit." And verse 19, "So he went and preached to prison, to prisoners, to spirits in prison." Let me read that again. So Jesus went and preached to spirits in prison. So where did Jesus go? He went down, whatever it is, to preach to the spirits in prison. Now, what spirits? What prison? Bible has the answer for that. In Jude, I'm glad you asked. Jude 1:6 says this. Are you ready? "And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority that God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the days of judgment." So Jesus had to go down to where the demons, evil spirits, fallen angels went and preached to them. What happened in there though? Don't you want to know? Bible says it, but it's clues. You have to pick it here, here and there from Old Testament and the New Testament. We want to know what happened to Jesus while he went in prison, while he went to hell. All right? Interesting thing is, as Jesus went to hell, let me give you an illustration. Okay. Imagine you are a judge. And you are not mean judge, but you are just judge. And you've put thousands of people in prison for life. And then one day, you were condemned for many more sins and were put into the same prison with those other thousands of prisoners there. What do you think would happen? You wouldn't have too many friends. When Jesus descended into hell, guess what happened? These guys was not happy to see him, but they were. Because they were like, "Oh yes. Oh, you said you know, probably Legion. You know Legion that he cast out of the demoniac? Remember? On the other side. And what happened was, the Legion was probably saying, "Let me get a piece of him. Oh, now he's mine. For eternity I will torment him. Oh, he wanted to torment me? He wanted to cast me out?" Oh, Jesus. As Jesus descended down, hell had his greatest celebration since Lucifer deceived Adam and Eve. This was the greatest party hell has ever had. Legions of demons and evil spirits were coming like the dark clouds of rain from the north. They were coming from all over. They were gathering and encircling Jesus as he stood there in the middle, bound by all the sin of the universe. Hallelujah. Demons were flying fast. There was a loud shout. There was happiness. They were saying, we won. We won. Jesus is defeated. God is defeated. Spirit of Jezebel was there. There can be no party without that woman. Spirit of Antichrist was there. Spirit of false prophet was there. The dragon was there. The deceiver was there. All of them was there. They encircled Jesus as he stood there. Respects were flying. Salutes were flying high to Lucifer. Demons were shouting, "Hail Lucifer, you won. We won, we won." Hell was celebrated when Jesus was defeated at the cross. These spirits were so evil. They wanted a piece of Jesus. Each one of them wanted to tear him apart as he stood in that darkness, surrounded by billions of the power of evil. I'll show you the description in a Bible of what Jesus went through in hell. Do you want to see it? open to Psalm 22. This is a prophetic psalm, Psalm 22. And let me read to you what happened in hell. Psalm 22, verse 11. As Jesus stood in the middle of hell, bound and kind of crippled a little bit because all the weight of sin was upon him. Listen to what he said, verse 11. Be not far from me, O God, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gap at me with their mouth, like a raging and a roaring lion. So as they were standing around Jesus, they wanted to each one get a piece of him in hell. They said, this is our chance. We got you now, God. They gap at me with their mouth like a raging and roaring lion. In verse 16, their dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked. Oh, there was a congregation. Oh, there was a congregation of hell all around Jesus. Look at this. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced me. And so they tried to get to him. Now, this is very interesting. As the demons were coming closer and closer. Interesting thing that Jesus, demons were met by the calmness of Jesus. Demons have seen thousands of millions of souls come to hell. But none of them acted like Jesus did. Jesus was calm and peaceful. The demons were expecting the usual. A cry, the begging. Please, don't hurt me, please. But something interesting was happening. They couldn't get that satisfaction from this man. He was not budging. He was not falling down and bowing before them. He was not scared. He just stood there under this weight. In the meantime, while this proceeding was happening in hell, there was another scene taking place in heaven. As the smell of the blood, innocent blood, sacrificed, a perfect Lamb of God that was slain, as the smell of His blood reached heaven, reached the throne of God, this sacrifice was pleasing to God. You know what Bible says? Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. How do you cover sins? Somebody has to pay. In Old Testament, what paid for the sins of people? The lambs, the animals. But this Lamb of God was slain, the perfect Son of God was slain. And when God smelled the blood of this sacrifice, He was pleased. He said, this is good. And God accepted it. Suddenly, something happened in hell again. Jesus begins to pray. And demons start laughing and mocking Him just like they did through people, you know, upstairs in this real world. And they begin mocking and say, it's not going to help. You're ours. You want to know what Jesus prayed? Open Psalm 16. Verse 10, listen to what Jesus prayed. Oh, this is good. This is what He said. For you, God, will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. As Jesus was standing encircled, and the circle was getting tighter and tighter around Him, Jesus began to pray as demons were mocking Him. You know what you need to do? Have you ever been in the moments of hell in your life? Have you ever experienced the valley of shadow and death? Well, this is what you need to do. This psalm you need to confess. Because listen to this. You need to say, you will not leave my soul in this Sheol. I'm going to remove she and say hole. God, you will not leave my soul in this hole. So whatever you're going through, the darkest moments of your life, whatever you're going through, some sickness, something that's so deep, deep depression, you need to begin to praise God. You need to confess, say, God, you will not leave me like this. I will get out of this. My body will not get sick. My body will not get old in this. I will live and declare the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And as Jesus began to pray, God released this resurrection power into His spirit. It was something different, something that hell have never heard of or never seen. Lucifer was beginning to get nervous. It was getting quieter and quieter in hell by each passing second. How could this be? Shouted the spirit of death as he stood by the on the right side of Lucifer. He's covered with sins from head to toe. He's covered with sins enough to last him for 5 eternities. Satan looked nervous and said, I don't know. Did you know the Bible says that sin is a sting? Let me show you this. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin. So sin is a sting of death. Have you ever been bitten by a bee? Imagine being stung by billions of bees, because Jesus didn't took the sins of few people. He took the sins of all people. So he was covered with sin. Imagine being bitten by a poisonous snake. Imagine being bitten all over, where your body has no single square inch that was not touched. That's what Jesus was. All the sins of this world fell on him. Your sins, my sins. Remember, on the cross, there was great exchange. The sins of people were put on Jesus, and perfect righteousness was released for anybody who wants. Oh God. That's what death is. Death is a spiritual poison. And that poison comes from sin. Every time you sin, that's a sting. And a lot of times, guys, when we're young, we make a lot of sins. And then we pay for them for the rest of our life. Or we live with them for the rest of our life. And Christ came to set us free from that sin. Once the person was bitten by sin, 100%, the poison worked 100%. And so demons, they were saying, what's going on? How come it's not working on Jesus? He should be bowing before us. He should be weeping and crying and saying, please don't touch me. But Jesus just stood there under that heaviness of sin. In front of all the demons, fallen angels, Lucifer himself, Jesus started moving as God poured his power into him. Jesus started straightening up. Jesus started shaking. And Jesus shook off. See this? Let's say this is sin. And he was bound with it. He started shaking. And he loosed them. And hell pushed back. The circle started getting louder and louder as in hell it was quieter and quieter. Suddenly a stream of light beams into the darkness of hell. That's God sending his resurrection power into the midst of hell. Can God be in hell? Oh, you betcha. Remember what David said? Where can I go from your spirit? If I go to hell, you're still there. You know, Satan thought, hell is my dominion. Hell is my place. And suddenly in the middle, the beam of light came and made the hell bright. To almost to the point where everybody started kind of, this is too bright, what's going on? Everybody fell even farther. All the spirits started trembling. In a moment, in the seconds of time, they just couldn't stand anymore. So they fall down and bow before this Jesus because of the great power that is on him. He's God. He created these spirits, these angels, these lizards, these monsters, these whatever they are, started going back and back. And Jesus stood up straighter and straighter and started walking towards the throne of Satan, Lucifer himself. His victory was cut short. Lucifer shouted curses, commands to his legions and said, get him, stop him. But no power. As soon as they would get close, they would fall because there's no power. Satan shouted to the legion, the one that Jesus cast out from the man, said, get him, prove yourself now. You always wanted to get your hands on him. And this demon, all he could do, he just escaped with all his 6,000 strong. Jesus got closer and closer to the prince of darkness. And as he got closer, Satan went back, tripped and fell down. And Jesus comes and grabs the keys of death and hell and rips him out of Satan's belt and says, this is not your house anymore. I come to take control. Then what he does is, he comes to and fulfills another prophecy. He steps on Satan's head and crushes it. Remember in the third chapter of Genesis, it says, you will crush his head. The seed of a woman will crush the head of the serpent. He crushes that head. Then he stands in the middle of hell. And from 1 Corinthians 15:55, he shouts, O death, where is thy sting? Where is your sting, O death? He shouts, as demons are lying around, not even able to lift their heads up. Then he shouts, O grave, where is your victory? These words penetrate hell. Jesus could not stay in hell because Bible says he knew no sin, but he became sin for us. He had no sin on the inside of him. See, he tricked Satan. Satan thought that Jesus was full of sin, but Jesus was just covered with sin. There was no sin of his own. If you have no sin, hell has no reason. If you have no sin, there's no poison of death inside of you. You see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as the power of God and the light of God began to fill hell, God reached out and says, come, my son, I will not leave you. Come. And according to Ephesians, you guys hearing me? Are you still connected with me, what I'm saying? In Ephesians, it says this, 1:19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of power towards us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. So what did God do? With His power, He worked in Jesus, raised Him from the dead, picked Him up. Jesus wasn't there for more than 2 hours in hell. He was there for a short period of time. Then God reached out, raised Him from the dead, picked Him up, put Him back in His body, transforms His body that is able to go through walls. Remember? Because Jesus receives new body. Takes Him and seats Him at the right hand. God could not allow all the sins to go to heaven, but He took it to the right place. Guys, this is so cool. Because all of your sins that you will ever commit or have committed in your lifetime, Christ already died for. He already took the sting of all those sins and He dropped them in hell. Your sin, you don't have to carry this anymore. You don't have to live in chains. You don't have to be under arrest of some phobia or fear. That's why He came. And on the third day, this is what we celebrate today. On the third day, the angel of the Lord came and removed a stone. But notice, when He removed the stone, Jesus was not there anymore. He was not there anymore. His blanket was there. His rope was there. Jesus was not there anymore. His body was transformed. Isn't this beautiful? Jesus is not asking you to do something He hasn't already done. He wants you to be free today. This is just the beginning of our series. But this is the foundation for our series. You know why? Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no power to preach this. We got to go home. But if He did die, which we know He did, and resurrected, what we know He did, then we have the power to trample everything that imprisons us, everything that bounds you. Every sin that comes to you and tries to seduce you, you can say no to it. You can say, I have the power to say no.